Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I don't want to be corny. I think we ought to say something about the cops across the country. What do I mean, be corny? I'm going to come around and say it. I'm going to say I appreciate the cops across the country, the cops and fire, who are out right now making this place safe. My engineer Craig Taylor was at Disneyland this morning. Not a problem, baby. The place is packed. Cop car at the front, cop car at the back, cop car all over the place. And you'll notice this. This is interesting. Even after 9/11 and the Patriot Act and all of those warnings from Steven Spielberg and others who were promoting movies that this was going to be a police state, even with all the coppers, all the stuff that the cops have got to do in trying to secure places, the most latest being this Palo Verde nuclear plant, even in the middle of all of that, they still got time to make sure that nobody gets hurt in the middle of a anti-war protest, although I understand some lady got a club in the face down in West L.A. yesterday. Sorry about that, lady. Sure, the cop that did it didn't mean it much. Maybe it's the best thing ever happened to you. Just a good club in the chops with a billy stick. In any event, with all that the cops are doing to try to keep the police, of course, and other security, try to keep the country secure, they are also out in force monitoring anti-war protests, which is cool. It's the American way. Everything's good there. I haven't got a problem. They're doing it all. They're doing it all, and good on you cats. So thank you. Palo Verde is this nuclear power plant. I don't know whether you know it or not, but Palo Verde is the largest nuclear power plant on the planet Earth. It's huge. It's huge. And there was some threat expressed by Tom Ridge, I believe, or the Homeland Security Office toward Palo Verde, or a possible threat. And I'm sure at this hour they have got that place shut down, airtight, water sealed. Not a problem over there. New York City, the police are out in force. Airports all over the country. Security is out in force. I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. I know everybody. Sometimes I wonder when people say, you know, there's going to be another terror attack. I'm wondering, do they want another one to happen, or are they afraid another one's going to happen? In other words, if another one happens, maybe it proves their point or something. I don't know. But everything is good out there, and the police are doing the job. We appreciate it. Just want you guys to know that. I mean, there's all kinds of publicity right now surrounding the troops in Iraq, the Marines and the Army and the Air Force, as well as should be. But you guys are doing the do here, and I just thought I'd say something about that because I think it's very cool. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Wall Street up again, 21 points. Or was it 21 today or 21 yesterday? It's up anyway. You know, no matter how much people want to predict the apocalypse, it just don't seem to happen, do it? No matter how much people want to predict the end of the world, it just ain't going according to plan. There's going to be death and destruction, and the economy's going to tank, and we'll never recover from this, and we'll never recover from that. I got every old man with a beard and a bullhorn standing down in the corner talking about the time is near. You know, it's really funny. Chris is laughing, but I swear to God, when I was a little kid, I used to go down to the Coliseum to see the Rams. My old man would take me down to see the Rams play at the Coliseum, maybe the Trojans, go to see Bruin football or something. And there was always some jackass on the corner with the bullhorn.
And everybody's going to hell, and you're all going to burn in hell.
There was always a guy with a sign. And I, the cross, I said, I remember thinking, or I think I probably said to my father, who that man? You know, what's up with him, Dad? Is he? Because I'd never seen him coming in from the burbs. The weirdest thing, well, my mother used to stand out on Sundays with a bullhorn and going, everybody going to hell! But other than that, everybody wants to predict the end of the world. They think it's coming. It ain't coming, baby. We're going to have to just muddle on through. Today, across the country, police are out in force, security out in force at every major tourist attraction and location in Washington, D.C. All of our national monuments are being protected. I understand the tourists are not allowed in or near the White House, and it's been a long time since anybody's been allowed inside the Statue of Liberty. New York police are riding subways. They have undercover in subways. And through it all, there's no concentration camps. There are no detention camps. The anti-war protests are going on as scheduled. People are exercising their constitutional right to free speech. This is an amazing place, man. And it doesn't really happen anywhere else in the world. I mean, some places, but everybody else has got a problem. It's kind of balancing it. Only in this country, in the United States, are we able to pull this stuff all together. Hey, this is coming from an old hippie here and an anti-war protester. And a guy that called the show last night and said, "What happened to you?" Nothing's happened to me. I just watched the passing parade of life. I see things, and I say what's right and wrong in everything. I ain't changed at all. Maybe my country's changed. You ever thought about that? I haven't changed a bit. I'm still the same dumb kid, but the country's gotten better. Maybe. Through it all, we are here. We're on the radio. I got an open line. The only thing that'll keep you from saying anything that you want is me, not Big Brother. Government ain't telling me what to do. Clear Channel's telling me what to do. They're the closest thing to Big Brother I got. Clear Channel, Robin Bertolucci, and David G. Hall. Those three people right there, they represent the Politburo. I got out of line, they pulled a plug on me. By the way, I want to say a thing about our very dear friend Dale Dye, a tremendous man, former Marine. Captain Dye is, and I'm going to repeat this, because we're going to be on the air live 6 hours again tonight. I just want everybody to know this. We will be here live for 6 solid hours doing our kind of commentary, which is frankly better than anything else you're going to get on the radio. I don't know where you've been, but this is the only place to be. We'll be on until 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern tonight. Anyway, my good friend Dale Dye is over there at KFI. He's now the official war advisor. And, you know, Dale called our show back after Saving Private Ryan. We were talking about it. He came on the air, very gracious guy. And then I decided, I said, why don't we call up Dale and get him on the air after 9/11? He came on. He talked to us about what the battle plan would be in Afghanistan. Well, somebody over at KFI heard this, and they decided to make him the official war advisor over there. So does he got any time for us? No, he don't have no time for us anymore. That's okay, Dale. We still love you, baby. We know you're busy. But let me just get a word of advice. They're going to work you like a dog. They're going to work you like a dog, and you ain't going to get paid enough. Because already I hear he's on the air like 19 hours over there. He was on 6 hours this morning. He did an early 3-hour shift with Handel today. He's going to be on another 4 hours with Ben and Ken. And then they say, would you like him to come on with you? I said, no, I happen to like the guy. I don't want to kill him. I learned a lot from Dale, so I can take it from here. No problem. The country is safe. So far, Wall Street seems to like this war. Well, naturally they would. You've heard cynically people say that war is good for business. Well, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that businessmen like to sit around wiping their hands and, you know, saliva coming down their fangs, and they can't wait to see the third world peoples exploited and murdered and worked to death in sweatshops? Partly. But anyway, well, not entirely. War is good for business. Let's take this war specifically. You can say it's wrong, you can say it's right, but on Wall Street right now, they see this as a proactive statement and strike against a terror-sponsoring nation. That's good for national security. National security is good for basic retail business. People want to go out into the stores. People want to do what my fine young friend Mr. Taylor did today and go to Disneyland. People want to go places. And number two, you can say we shouldn't have a war for oil, but let me stop and ask anybody who thinks no war for oil, what does that mean? What's wrong with a war for oil? What's wrong with fighting a war for oil? Oil helps hydroelectric power plants, energy, keeps people alive. It is a utility, like water and like gas, and like electricity. If you don't have it, life ceases. It's like water. If you don't have water, life ceases. People have traditionally always battled for the things that keep us alive. Wall Street likes this war because of that, because it is a war that could secure a utility, a resource that this country desperately needs. So that's why it's good for business. Now, all the rest of that stuff about, you know, blood dripping off the talons of the businessmen of America, well, maybe, I don't know, but you better check that sweatsuit you're wearing to make sure it wasn't manufactured in some basement in China. I'm sure everybody's reading the labels on everything they buy, right? And when push comes to shove, and you want all the work back in the United States, which I don't blame you, I do too, and you have to pay more because of the higher union wages, and you say that your paycheck just isn't going far enough, and so you begin to demand more tax cuts, and so when the tax cuts come through that you demanded, public services are cut back, and when public services are cut back, you may have more juvenile delinquency or teenage pregnancy. You know, everything is kind of holistic. It's a very holistic thing. Everything is connected. So, you know, try to figure out where you want that, where you feel the circle ought to stop. What's acceptable to you? Anyway, what am I talking about? What the hell am I talking about? I'm talking about business in the war. How the hell did I get into holistic? What is that? I'm going to go to my chiropractor? What the hell is that? All of a sudden I'm talking, I'm going, yes, everything is holistic. And, did you dose my coffee? Somebody put ecstasy in my coffee. Yeah. All right, we're going to be right back. 1-800, I know the number. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, doing the cutting-edge commentary and comedy, trying to revive radio in the present day. The Phil Hendry Show, back in just a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're back here on The Phil Hendry Show. We're doing war coverage, if you want to call it that. We're talking to you about the war in the Middle East, the war in Iraq. This is not the kind of radio show that I ordinarily do. People who employ me like me to always remind you of that. You know, I really do comedy, but you know, there's such a difference between what I do and the normal shock and awe of talk radio that I need to stop down every now and again and tell you that, well, I generally do a comedy show, but this is kind of relaxing for me to do this kind of radio, because nothing could be easier than to sit and talk about international affairs, the safety of the country, the safety of our troops, the safety of the Iraqi people. One gets the impression that the way the war is being conducted here in the early stages is kind of pissing some people off a little bit, because no Iraqi civilians are getting killed en masse. American soldiers are not getting killed en masse. We actually began this war with an attempt at a, quote, decapitation, end quote, of the Iraqi regime. That is, to take out Saddam Hussein so that we could end the war before it began. I think an eminently moral and intelligent decision to make. And now we're going head over heels, falling all over ourselves, talking about shock and awe, and warning the Iraqis that they're in for one hellish experience. Who knows if it's true or not, but if we can scare the hell out of them, maybe they'll come up out of their holes because of that. Either way, we're bending over backwards not to kill anybody, and it must be really pissing off a lot of people that thought this was going to be the second coming of the Hitler Reich. Must be just driving them nuts. I think the most bloodthirsty people out there, quite frankly, are people who are opposed to this war. I think the September 10th anti-war group, they're bloodthirsty as hell, because the more blood, the more their position's proven. The more blood that's spilled, the more self-righteous they can feel. The better they can feel about themselves. And here's one of the hardest things for people to understand, and then we're going to take some phone calls, and you mull over this one. The hardest thing for people to get today, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to be the first guy to break the news to you on this, all countries are not created equal, and all countries are not equal. Some countries have a moral right over others to make certain decisions. Now, I realize that you think that I'm wrong, and I know you're wrong, but I would argue this one for hours with you. That giving a nuclear weapon to a Saddam Hussein and giving a nuclear weapon to the United States of America is not the same thing. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Brett. Brett, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
How you doing?
I'm all right. I want to get this clear, that I'm for the war in Iraq. I think that Saddam Hussein, you know, he's not a good guy and he should be taken out. So first and foremost, I do agree with you on that point. But with you said that the war for oil is a, you know, it could be a good thing, and a war for oil shouldn't be a bad thing. But the example that I have is, like, if we were the only country in the world that had wheat, and wheat is a good thing for bread and it feeds people, I don't think it would be a good thing, and I don't think that you think it would be a good thing if other countries attacked us just because we had that commodity, and that commodity keeps people alive.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. You can't just say that, because A, are they able to grow wheat? Are the other countries able to grow wheat?
I don't know. And I know that we have
let's say for instance, huh?
We have
are we talking about wheat, or were we talking about oil? What are we doing?
They're two basic things that keep people alive.
All right. Let's say the other countries attacked us for our wheat because those countries had no ability to grow wheat. Perhaps they're countries that are on barren rock, and we were keeping the wheat for ourselves. So they were literally starving to death. You better believe they got a right to attack us. We're trying to murder them by starving them. Oh yeah, I would expect them to attack us.
But you said that, like, we couldn't grow wheat, and or they couldn't grow wheat.
If they did not have the ability to grow wheat, and their people were starving, and there was food, and we wouldn't trade with them, we wouldn't give them the wheat, we wouldn't sell it to them, or what have you. Absolutely.
But I'm sitting here. I'm sitting in my car right now, and it's running. And I'm sure you drove to your workplace of work.
Right.
I have oil. I'm able to have oil. And I don't think that
why do you have oil?
Because there's countries out there that give it to us.
Wait a minute. They give it to us?
Well, we buy it from.
We buy it from them. Wait a minute. Well, hold on. How is it that we're buying oil from them?
I don't
understand.
How that is. Can
I ask a question? Did they one day suddenly say, hey, look, we got oil. Anybody want to buy it? Is that what happened?
I really couldn't.
Well, I can answer that for you.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, they did not magically one day find it. Engineers came in from other countries, European countries, other countries. Engineers came in with drilling equipment and said, hey, I don't know whether you guys know this or not, but you got a whole lot of oil here. Really? Yeah. And in the name of Shell and Exxon, we own it. Well, as the years went by and as the world turned, the nations said, no, you know what? No, you don't own it. We're going to nationalize it. They nationalized it. They owned their own oil, and that was correct, and that was proper. They formed an organization called the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, which started to set the price for oil, and gradually they came into the 20th century a little bit. They used oil boycotts twice. They have also attacked an ally of ours in that region, Israel. And through it all, they have used their hold on oil as a way to manipulate the politics of this country and the world at large. That ain't cool, especially when 3,000 people are murdered in a terrorist attack on 9/11, and we decide to take a proactive military stand on it. So, I would love to be able to boil it down into a simple analogy and say, suppose we had wheat and nobody else did. But there are chapters to this story. Chapter one, hi, I'm a Bedouin and I'm on a camel. Chapter two, some jackass from Europe comes in and finds oil. Chapter three, Shell sets up operations. Chapter four, Arabs nationalize Shell and say, no, you may not own the oil. Chapter five, Arabs form OPEC. Chapter six, Arabs get pissed off at Jews and begin to embargo oil. Chapter seven, Arabs start to use terrorism and also attack America. Chapter 8, they piss off America. Chapter 9, shock and awe. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're going to be here. We're going to be commenting on and reporting on the United States war in Iraq, as long as it is immediately relevant. It's always going to be relevant, but as long as it is breaking, we're going to be here talking to you about it. Essentially, we do more of a comedy show here, and we'll get back to the comedy when it is appropriate. You know, because I'm under a particular microscope. Some of my friends are already doing gas mask jokes, but I guess Phil's not allowed to do that until it's the all clear, right? All right, that's fine. That's fine, because you know what? As I said, this stuff is pretty easy to do, and it's interesting to do, and it's important to do, particularly when it comes to the security of our country. Operation Atlas has gone into full effect across terror-scarred New York City as the first bombs fell on Iraq last night. Sources said White House officials called. Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly as the military operation got underway. Kelly quickly made his way to the NYPD's Command and Control Center at police headquarters to oversee the long-planned further ratcheting up of security in New York. We've been prepared. We are prepared, said New York City spokesman Michael O'Looney. Hundreds of extra cops, including detectives from elite units, were called into duty, available to be mobilized as needed throughout the city. By the way, this is something else that costs money, guys. This is something else that costs money. And that is, it is necessitated by your tax dollars. Police prowled the streets with bomb-sniffing dogs, submachine guns, and radiation detectors amid a myriad of fears ranging from suicide bombings to chemical and biological attacks. The primary drive for all of this is the fact that we're going to war. There is chatter out there that people may want to engage in retaliation against this country. So New York City is on top of it, and the rest of the country is on top of it as well, securing the country in the event of a terror attack. I don't know how likely it is. I don't know how likely a terror attack is going to be. I do know that there are people making hay out of this fear of radiological and bacteriological bombs, and there are people who are expecting it, that it's got to come, that there's no way in hell that it can't come. Well, yeah, there is a way in hell that it can't come. They may want to bring it, but we may not let them in the door. No doubt a lot of that's been happening since September the 11th. If you want to know, is the Homeland Security Office doing its job? Let me ask you a question. You seen any terrorists around here lately? Or is that just luck? 1-800-449-8686. Here is Seth. Seth, hello.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Fine.
Phil, let me start by saying I'm a little nervous because I don't talk on the radio that much, so please bear with me.
Nope, no problem.
But I am a huge fan of the show. Anytime I can get that crappy AM station here in Tucson to actually transmit, I am listening.
Oh, God. Very good friends at the Jolt?
You know, once you get close to downtown, it works, but I'm kind of out in the scrubland, so I don't always get it, but...
You may have to move into town.
Well, I'm moving out.
Are you out there? Are you a desert rat?
I'm kind of a desert rat.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that you're taking the time to do this. There was a couple things that I wanted to bring up. I'm not a huge fan of the war.
Right.
I think that Hussein is definitely a bastard. His record speaks for that. I think this war is going to hugely benefit the Iraqi people, but I think this is a Band-Aid approach to the U.S.'s problem. And the point that I wanted to make is that in this world, there are always going to be guys making nukes, chemical weapons, biological weapons. Technology is everywhere. The materials are out there. I think what, as a country, we need to start doing is think less imperialism and more of just focusing on the country of America, not being involved in so much and taking the money that, say, we're giving to Israel and putting it back into America in places like inner city Chicago, the Appalachian Mountains, where Americans
You just happened to grab Israel out of the air, huh? It could have been any country, right?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is...
Have you ever taken a look at how much money we actually spend on foreign aid as opposed to, you know, all the other things, that the so-called entitlement things like Social Security and those things? Have you ever seen a percentage?
So I understand that we're not necessarily giving the majority to Israel, but...
No, not even the majority. It's a small minority.
So what I'm getting at is we're giving money to them, the Israelis' treatment of the Palestinian people, and I'm not saying that the Palestinians have not done more than their fair share of, you know, contributing to the problem, But we get linked to that, and we don't need to be linked to that. We're not Israelis. We're Americans. We need to keep our assets, our resources, here in this country. Sweden does not get attacked by terrorists. Canada does not get attacked by terrorists. Why is that?
Because they have got the United States of America running interference up the gut, if you will, to use a football analogy.
Phil, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes sense to me. You want me to make it sense for you?
Please do.
Okay, here you go. Given the balance of power in this world between, let's say, a third world socialist, say a third world socialist rising Islamist attitude, or just an unaligned group of nations, and the so-called first world nations, which are primarily democracies, there's got to be an entity that carries some of the weight in each one of those camps. The United States carries the weight in the first world democratic camp. The reason why Canada hasn't been attacked by terrorists, the reason why Finland and Sweden and all these other wonderful countries haven't been attacked by terrorists is, yeah, you're right, we stuck our nose out. We're Americans. We go into countries and we drill for oil. We go into countries and we sell sneakers. We go into countries and we sell weapons. We are capitalists. We're the best at what we do than anybody in the world. We're salesmen. We go around the world on a shoeshine and a smile, just like Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman, knocking on doors, shaking hands, and saying, "Hi, I'm an American. You want to buy some of this stuff?" Well, it's pissing some people off. But you want to know what? It sure takes the heat off of the Canadians that do the same thing, the Swedes that do the same thing, the British that do the same damn thing, all those French businessmen, Italian businessmen, all those guys that are selling weapons. What about France shipping their weapons all around the country? I don't see anybody targeting them as a great Satan. But America takes the hit because we happen to be the big boy on the block. We do it good. We do it big. We do it bad. We do it proud. Canada ain't taking a hit, Sweden isn't taking a hit, Britain isn't taking a hit, and France isn't taking a hit, because we're the guys with our big noses out front. One of the reasons why our big noses are out front is because we happen to live better than anybody else. Now, if somebody would like to maybe knock their standard of living down a few G's a year, maybe you don't want to live in such a nice house, maybe you'd like to see a few potholes in the street. In short, maybe you'd like to see the country look a little bit more like, Sweden. Then you're going to have to take about 150 million of us out of here, grow a few more trees, practice get some bands to sound like ABBA. I don't know what the hell. We're Americans, man. We don't do that. Now, should we be doing a lot of the things that we're doing? The answer is no. If we learn one thing out of this, here it is. And I said this after 9/11. Please, God, let it happen. Let's get out of the Middle East. Let's not do business with them anymore. Let's stick up for people that we ought to stick up for. Fellow democracies, for instance, Israel, Britain, even France, people that share values with us. Let's not prop up dictatorships. Let's not enable these totalitarian regimes. But in the process, if we don't do that and we don't make friends out of those people, like, for instance, anybody out there got a problem with us having a friend in that guy Musharraf in Pakistan? You know, he's a dictator. His secret police kill people. He's a piece of garbage. But you want to know something? That guy helped us in our war with Al-Qaeda. Now, what do you got to say about that? All of you people that think America's the number one terrorist state. Because the reason why we're called terrorists is that occasionally we got to do business with a cat like Musharraf. Musharraf's the guy that gave us a hand with that Al-Qaeda action. Musharraf's the guy that gave us a hand, let our troops go into Pakistan, let our CIA go into Pakistan and FBI go into Pakistan. He's one of the reasons why we got that Khalid Mohammed piece of crap. He's a dictator. He's a murderer. He's a totalitarian. He shares nothing with us. His values are nothing like ours. We wouldn't recognize a guy like that in this country if he was running this country. We would run in fear. But we did business with him, didn't we? We got Al-Qaeda through him, didn't we? Now, do you want us not to do that? Do you want us to be pure as the driven snow? Should we go skipping out into the daylight in our little skirts with our patent leather shoes and just go, "Ooh, it's dangerous out here"? Turn around and run back and have a little bowl of Maldo meal? Is that what you want, really, folks? Is that what it's about, booby? Because I'll tell you, if that's what you want, yeah, we can operate like that. And we can be a third-rate, fourth-rate, even fifth-rate country. I guess we don't have to be America anymore. We'll let somebody else take it over. I know. How about the Canadians? Why don't you guys start pulling your weight? Get that military back up to shape. You got a big-ass country up there. All the freaking oil you ever wanted in the world. Beautiful country. Great people. Good hockey, for what it's worth. Great place. You guys carry the ball for a while. We're sick of it. Sick of it. Here, take the baton. It's yours. Go, 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 go. Oh, so you don't want us to do business with the Musharrafs of the world. Is that it? Okay. Then we don't get Al-Qaeda. But then I suppose there's a whole lot of brain surgeons that say, well, we wouldn't have a problem with Al-Qaeda in the first place if we didn't do business with people like the royal family. Oh, the royal family, you say. You mean the guys that have the oil? Well, who would you like us to do business with? They got the oil. And you know that oil that goes into that big SUV that you drove from the anti-war demonstration on Market Street today? All that petite bourgeois up there in San Francisco chaining themselves to fences, and then they get back into their excursions and drive back over the bridge to Sausalito. Yeah, sure. Look it, man, I've seen it all before. You want to put the gas in the car? We got to do business with the Saudi royal family. How do we do business with the Saudi royal family? Well, I guess we're going to have to overlook the fact that they're a bunch of scum, too. So that's oil. Now, what else do you want to talk about? I don't know. I mean, just name a resource. The world is interconnected. As the man said in the movie Network, remember Ned Beatty when he was talking to Howard Beale and he was insane? He said the world is connected by a network of corporations, not countries, corporations, all doing business with each other, all spending and making the same money. That's what keeps the thing, keeps the ball rolling out there. It is naive to say, we can go out and have what we want here in America, and we don't have to do business with the Musharrafs of the world. You can't say that. Otherwise, for instance, are you willing to go up and down your block and find out every guy that beats his wife? And make sure that your daughter doesn't go to that door to sell Girl Scout cookies because on a moral principle you don't believe in guys beating their wives? How many people up and down the street that you live on molest their children? You want to go and stick your nose in everybody's business and find out, or are you just doing business? You know what I mean? You got to go along to get along sometime, baby. That's what the man said. Otherwise, we're like children, and this conversation isn't even worthy of a schoolyard. All right, 1-800. Did that rip your ass enough, or do you need more? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So what does the average soldier carry? Do you ever thought about that? What are those guys humping around over there in the desert with? We have a list of the stuff the guys are carrying. 80 to 100 pounds of stuff. Or as they call it, gear. Depends on the mission. Some soldiers are trained in first aid. Now, that does not mean that they are medics, but they are trained additionally in first aid, so they carry also what is called a combat lifesaver bag. But let's take a look at the gear that maybe your brother or your father is carrying around right now, or your husband, or your wife, or your daughter. First off, let's talk about this, what is called the NBC gear. Well, this is for nuclear, biological, and chemical attacks. It is a handheld detector that can identify chemical agents. It also has a protective suit with boots and gloves and a mask that provides respiratory, eye, and face protection. You'll notice I said protective suit with boots and gloves. Those clowns you see on TV with gas masks, they're dead before they hit the ground. Those reporters, who are they kidding? You got to have on a suit, gloves, boots, mask, clown nose, everything.
Big shoes?
You gotta have it all, man. Standing there in front of a TV camera with the gas mask on, looking like something out of the, you know, the Attack of the Mole People, ain't gonna make it. The second thing that our soldier has is the standard issue helmet. It is a one-piece helmet made of Kevlar. What is Kevlar? You ever ask yourself? It's a bulletproof metal made by DuPont, as a matter of fact. The helmet itself weighs 3.25 to 4.5 pounds, small to extra large, they have. Our soldier also, by the way, has his what's called desert battle dress. Sometimes you see the guys wearing just those caps, and then you see them in their Kevlar helmet. The Kevlar helmet, they're in their desert battle dress. It's a battle dress uniform, including the helmet, body armor, vest, gloves, boots, designed for desert combat, and they carry a lightweight backpack. Now, what is the body armor? It's called Interceptor Body Armor. It's a vest that protects against fragmentation and bullets. It's a protective plates inserted in a vest can withstand multiple small arms hits. It weighs 16.4 pounds, medium size. So far we got our nuclear, biological, and chemical attack gear. We have the helmet. We've got the body armor. We also have what's called standard issue supplies. Standard issue supplies carried by the soldiers include a canteen of extra water, meals ready to eat, or we've heard of them called MREs. There's also, by the way, I had an MRE once. They're actually pretty good. Yeah, it's you know, it's got like a brownie in it and a bunch of stuff. I forget what the meat was. I think it was like meat surprise or something. Yeah, a little thing. No, it's got coffee. Yeah, it's good. They got that occasionally a cigarette or something. Socks and additional clothing. Fleece jackets or overalls, rain jacket, 3 ammo pouches, 2 30-round magazines, 2 hand, by magazine, that's an ammunition cartridge, 2 hand grenades, and a first aid pouch. A fighting load includes extra ammunition and grenades. Night vision goggles as well, battery-operated. Goggles use an infrared light source to amplify the existing light. There's also a man-sized target, a range. A man-sized target is visible 984 feet away in the moonlight using these range goggles. 984 feet away, you can see a man-sized target in moonlight. The M16 rifle and bayonet is the military's standard-issue weapon. Griffin's, this young man we're talking about, has a bayonet. It's small, it's lightweight, it's automatic. He carries a 30-round magazine. So these guys have got it all. They got it all right there. Carrying 80 to 100 pounds of gear with them. That's the equipment of today's United States combat soldier. 1-800-449-8686. That's what the guys are carrying around with them right now in Iraq. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'll be back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
American military, Marines, and Army infantry are moving north into Iraq virtually unopposed, although the odd shell is fired now and again. There is the odd firefight, and when I say firefight, maybe there's some small arms fire, but there has been no significant opposition to Army and Marine units moving in from the south in Iraq here in the beginning stages of the war in Iraq. And everybody waiting around for this shock and awe. What we're looking at, I think, personally, is the first modern application of on a broad scale of psychological operations. And what we're also looking at is something unprecedented, and that I don't know if people are really grasping this yet. We're looking at a modern army, a modern military, trying to win a war without firing a shot. We are trying to put the fear of Jesus into these, or the fear of Allah, whoever, into our adversary so that they will surrender en masse. We are trying to send the message to them that we're about to rain living hell on them, and it would be better if they just come up out of the holes with their hands up. Will it work? I don't know. Did the strike on Saddam's headquarters last night work? I don't know. But I will tell you, my hat is off to the American, British, and Australian military for concocting this plan to try and get rid of the leadership of Iraq, or to take the power out from underneath Saddam Hussein without inflicting too much damage and too many casualties. We've not had any American casualties. There have been reported some Iraqi casualties and one Iraqi death. Nobody is trying to make that happen on purpose. It's impossible to fight a war without someone getting hurt. But I got to tell you, at this particular stage, 24 hours into whatever you want to call this, the prelude or the war itself or the shock and awe or shock and awe junior or, shock and awe and the four tops. I don't know. You can call it anything you want. The fact is, we are engaging the enemy, not firing too many weapons, and we're getting some surrenders. We're also hearing that the Iraqi military is said to be breaking within. That is, the Republican Guard is considering, or there are some officers who are considering surrendering. That's news that I've gotten off of CNN and Fox. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that is the information that they have gleaned from somebody somewhere. It's also important to know that there are Iraqis on the ground, Iraqi citizens on the ground, who've been risking their lives over the last months, if not years, bringing us very vital intelligence. And some of that intelligence had to do with where Saddam Hussein's leadership bunker was, how we were able to find out where that was, and how we were able to target it. It was reported last night that Hussein can no longer, quote, trust his inner circle, end quote. I don't know whether that means we got our intelligence from somebody in his ministerial cabinet, or from somebody who is a little bit further down the food chain. But nonetheless, there are people in Iraq tonight risking their lives to provide intelligence to help us effect this, the end of this campaign. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. This has got to be killing, just eating up the guts of people who are the September 10th anti-war, hide-behind-the-metal-detector movement, as I like to call them. Very succinct title. The September 10th anti-war, let's crouch behind the metal detector movement. Because they wanted to see lots of Iraqi dead. They wanted to see lots of American soldiers dead so it could bolster their position against this war. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But keep hanging around a little bit. And maybe if we can demoralize a few people and if we can stretch this out, as I know you probably want us to, there may be a few thousand dead in the offing yet. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, speaking the truth for the last 71 years. Here is Guy. Hello, Guy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question. Actually, was bothering me. I heard today in the news that the Palestinian was burning American flags again in protest of our effort. I wanted to hear what your opinion about that. We continue providing the support and trying to help the Palestinian. However, if any occasion that they have, they will protest against it, against any of our involvement or, as they call it, as our war against the Muslims. I wanted to hear your opinion.
Well, why wouldn't they be burning flags when they're constantly lied to by their leaders?
Right.
Why wouldn't the young people of Palestine burn American flags when their leaders put the blame on America to keep the blame from them? The people that are stealing their money, the people that are misrepresenting them, the people that are torturing them, the people that are robbing from them. The Arab leadership is so bankrupt, so corrupt, so vile and despicable that they have to put the blame on America. Everything. If it rains, it's America's fault. If there's too much sun, it's America's fault. If they're too tall, it's America's fault. If they're too short. If they got too much money or not enough money, it can always be America's fault, and that way you keep the blame away from the corrupt Palestinian Authority, the despicable animals that run Syria, Saudi Arabia. Why not blame America? Because when you, as the leader of an Arab nation, if anybody found out the truth about why those people are being kept down, a lot of it has to do with American policy, but most of it these days is the fact that those people are being robbed by their own leaders. They can't let that truth out. They'd be dead in 24 hours.
It seems like when I was listening to the speech yesterday that every few seconds he mentioned the Zionist involvement of the destruction of Iraq and everything and calling for help from other nations. Sometimes you're like, is that all what he has to say, or is that all that involves? All the problems about the Zionists, or maybe let's come up with the truth of what's really going on.
Are you talking about Saddam?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's blame the Zionists, because then we won't hear about the acid baths, the torturing, the raping, the beheading.
Right. Or the chemical warfare that he had with the Kurds and the Iran.
Absolutely. And so it's impossible. There's no other way. You can't conduct business as a leader in the Middle East. You can't conduct business as the leader of Iraq, Iran, Syria, or any other corrupt, degenerate, totalitarian regime without blaming America or Israel. Otherwise, the truth starts to leak out, and the next thing you know, well, you're hanging upside down in your own gas station, and who needs that? Thank you, sir, for your call. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. A quick look at the Allies' mighty war machine coming up. Also, I want to reiterate my profound thanks and respect for the police officers of this country, the firefighters of this country, and the security officers of this country who are doing their very best to protect all of us in every major city, at every major tourist attraction, at every major park, monument, shopping malls, places of business, doing their best to make sure that we are safe. They're also doing their best to make sure that anybody that wants to protest this war, you know, they can facilitate that. They're also trying at the same time to make sure that emergency services are afloat for the average, you know, cat stuck in the tree or somebody having a heart attack. These guys are really doing the job today. We appreciate it. And, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, if you walk by one of them, you might give them a thumbs up or a wink. If you're a lady, you might maybe unbutton your blouse and just, you know, just give these guys a thrill for crying out loud. Jesus. It's no big thing. Here's Frank on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Phil. Love the show. You're a real dose of common sense in a world that lacks much of it.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. Just wanted to get your quick opinion on something, and then I'll hang up and have you elaborate.
Hang up and turn your radio down.
No problem.
Right.
Just wanted to know, what do you think, this country will use nuclear weapons if Saddam unleashes chemical and biological? Do you think that's the drastic thing that Bush will do?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I don't know what they mean either by tactical nuclear weapon, but I assume that... Hello, you there? Oh, he did hang up. And he's turning his radio down. I do. I think he will. By the way, guess what they're lobbing at the troops? Scuds. Oh, I thought he didn't have any. Oh, well. Funny what we're finding out. Do you see the game that was being played on everybody? If we would have kept the inspection process up, we could have put pressure on him, and we would have, oh my ass, this guy, 12 years, the guy's still got scuds. Cat is, he's lobbing him in there, man, like he's tossing, wadded up paper into a trash can. Here's another one. I thought you cats didn't have any of those. Yeah, well, guess again. We found a couple. What do you mean you found a couple?
I think they were here, man. I think the inspector came in.
The inspector said they wanted those scuds. Why didn't you say you had them?
I tripped over one.
Oh, quit firing at us. You're not supposed to do that.
Your mama.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Listen to the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more of our insightful, cutting-edge commentary, or whatever the hell you want to call it, better than anybody else's, on the war in Iraq in a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
They're not only spying on us, they haven't paid their parking tickets. According to the New York City Police, diplomatic scofflaws at the Iraqi mission to the United Nations on the Upper East Side. Oh, the city of New York, 160 G's on 1,400 unpaid parking tickets. Other nations have been settling their debts since the Bloomberg administration worked out a payment plan with the State Department, but not Iraq. The Iraqis, who have two official parking spaces for four vehicles outside their mission on East 79th Street, have been paying new tickets, but not the old ones. Calls to the mission were not returned yesterday. The Daily News revealed yesterday that the FBI has evidence that some of those who work at the mission have been spying for Iraqi intelligence under the cover of diplomacy, and they're parking illegally. Why not just tow their cars? Or put a little, put a listening device in the car. How quick do you think it is to bug one of those Iraqi cars? The FBI has been questioning 1,000 people born in Iraq who live in the metropolitan area. Federal law enforcement source said most fled Saddam Hussein's Iraq and are likely sympathetic to the United States, though some are being watched for potential terrorist activity. In November, Mayor Bloomberg and the State Department began clamping down on diplomatic parking deadbeats. Since then, some of the targeted countries have paid new tickets and written checks on those past due, said mayoral spokesman Brian blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the thing I was telling you guys about in New York City. You can park anywhere you want if you have diplomatic plates. Bloomberg's doing something about it. People on the Upper East Side hate it. They hate it. They can't find anywhere to park. You look at all these these cars with diplomatic plates parked up on the sidewalks, parked in some guy's living room. Driving them nuts. 1-800-449-8686. Warplanes have attacked Basra Airport. Basra is a main, if not the main, port on the Persian Gulf for Iraq. British and U.S. warplanes attacked Basra's international airport today. The Iraqi news agency reported that aircraft attacked civilian and military installations at Anbar, Basra, and Kut. Is this today's news, Janice? Is this today's news? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. So I don't know whether this is old news or not. I know that there are fireballs that are being seen over the skies of Basra. Would you find out if this is current, please? Thank you. There are fireballs being seen over the skies of Basra, so the air attack continues. And that's a very important area militarily because it is a port. And if you grab one of their ports, it means you've got a place to dock your ships. That's the important thing to know. It isn't that you're going to keep them from shipping stuff out, because what the hell are they sending out? I don't know what they're sending out. I don't know what oil. I don't imagine the oil business these days is too good. They just set four of their oil wells on fire. What that means is if you capture a port, your ships are now in that port. You are now docking your ships. You are now offloading supplies at that port. You are now offloading troops at that port. You are now offloading air power. You have opened a door. You've grabbed a chair and you have sat yourself down in their country. You now have a base of operations, a significant, huge base of operations in that country. 8 FA-18 Hornets and 2 F-14 Tomcats from the carrier Air Wing 5 conducted response option airstrikes against Iraqi targets in southeast Iraq. There it is. 1-800-449-8686. This is Brian. Hello, Brian.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Okay. Well, you like my opinion on this?
I didn't call you, man.
I called you.
I think so.
Okay. Hey, well, where I stand is that we've never before in the United States history have we preemptively gone into another country without being attacked first. This is the first time in our 200-year history that we're being aggressive. We're actually invading another country.
Well, that's not true.
What's to stop China from going into Singapore?
That's not true. We took California without firing a shot from Mexico.
So what happens when China decides to go into another country?
That little piece of information, huh? I'm sorry?
What happens if China decides to invade another country? Do we have the moral authority to
They have. Anything? They have.
Where?
Tibet.
Yeah, but I don't remember them invading Tibet, but didn't we put up a fight against that?
1-800-449-8686. Here is Chuck. Hello, Chuck.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Great. I wanted to make a comment, and I wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard Brian, and Brian had a point, but I really feel that even though United States may not have a preemptive strike in this history, they're in a situation where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Who, the U.S.?
Yeah, if they don't go in and get rid of Saddam, then he's going to, who knows what else he can do in the future. So they have to do something about it.
Well, no, you could say this. We could have just said, oh, it's okay. Let's not send the inspectors back. He can just build whatever he wants and have whatever he wants. The inspectors were there, and we heard Blix say over and over that they're not being that cooperative, that they're hiding, that, well, now they're being cooperative, now they're not. The guy's firing scuds at us now. He said he didn't have any.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree that Saddam Hussein eventually given the time, and, you know, he just, it's a cat and mouse game with him, with this inspector.
You know what's funny? The French were proposing a virtual army of occupation of UN inspectors. They wanted to triple or quadruple the number of UN inspectors in that country, and they wanted those inspectors to have completely free rein to go anywhere they wanted, and they wanted those inspectors to file regular, I think, like weekly reports. I mean, in other words, what France was asking for was an invading army of UN inspectors who would go anywhere they want at any time, as if that was going to be allowed by Hussein, if that was, you know what I'm saying, as if that was going to find something that guy really wanted to hide from us. I got to tell you this. I respect the French for trying their damnedest to avoid war. I mean, you got to admire a man who wants to find some way to avoid war. But at some point, I have to ask this question. Are you trying to avoid war because you are trying to save lives, or are you trying to avoid war because you're trying to save your own ass?
And exactly.
It got to a point with France where it started to smell like they were covering their own ass on this thing.
Absolutely. And I believe that France actually might have made the situation worse than it is now. Because if France would have got behind the United States, maybe other nations would have got behind the United States, and this might not have been, you know, Saddam Hussein might have felt more pressure to come to the,
right,
you know, the world community.
Well, you're making a point that was,
you know,
made,
what I mean? So I think that France made a mistake.
Well, you're
by not backing the United States, and eventually Saddam Hussein was going to have to leave power one way or another, and the United States knew that. They just made it happen faster than it should have been.
I'll tell you something, Chuck, because you're making a point that Chirac made. He said the same thing, and then he realized what he'd said and didn't have an answer for it. He said it was the pressure of American and British troops that helped get the inspectors back in there and got Saddam to the point that he got to with the inspectors.
Absolutely.
And the question was then asked, well, then why didn't you have French troops there, too, to add even more pressure? And he blew the question off. He didn't want to answer it. Chuck, thanks for your call. It was brilliant. Of course, you did agree with me, but it was brilliant. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, covering the war with Iraq, the war on Iraq, or the war in Iraq, depending upon how you look at it, like no other radio show can. We'll be right back after this.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Is back.
A couple hundred people out in force in West L.A., 300 people in downtown Chicago, protesting that we're not killing enough people in the Middle East to make them feel good about their anti-war sentiments. We have to get in there and start killing more civilians and more American soldiers so that the September 10th anti-war hide behind the metal detector movement can feel good about themselves, have another latte, jump back into their excursion, and go home and make some meatloaf for the kids. We're sorry we're not killing enough people for you guys to feel righteous and all warm and fuzzy about your so-called anti-war movement. The United States military has conducted this operation in a way that I think, if ever there was a highly moral approach to conducting a military exercise with the fewest amount of civilian casualties, you're looking at it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it disappoints you. I'm sorry it just so brutally disappoints you that we may be able to get rid of Saddam. May be able. I'm not saying we will. May be able to get rid of Saddam Hussein without an enormous number of civilian or military casualties. And that's got to piss off people who are against this war. It's just got to piss them off. Because the body bags aren't going to materialize. And keep in mind that you may get your wish, all you anti-war September 10th people. You may yet get your wish. We're going to be engaged in a fight for the port city of Basra very soon. We are already softening it up with air power. Now, this is a port city, and port cities are important. They have harbors. Harbors are places where ships can dock. We have ships that we would like to get out of the Persian Gulf and out of the Indian Ocean, and we'd like to dock them. We would love to be able to offload supplies in a harbor. That's something the Iraqi military is not going to want us to do. Who's going to get caught in the middle? You guessed it. Unless they've fled the city, and I pray to God they have, there will be civilians in that city. And I suspect that in the fight for Basra, we will see civilian casualties. And so the September 10th anti-war people will get their wish, tons of civilian casualties. And then they can go out and say, there's dead civilians. We're right. We're right. We're right. And if you're really lucky, we'll get some GIs in body bags, and then you can run around with coffins over your heads, and it'll be 1969 all over again. And maybe if you're really lucky, you'll lose about 30 years off your age, and you won't look like the freaking prune that you are today. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Brian. Brian, hello.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
I think you've been doing a great job covering this whole thing from day one.
Thanks.
The main reason behind my call was, I'm sure you saw the footage that of Saddam addressing Iraq a couple hours into the strike.
Right.
I was just curious as to what you thought as to, did you think that was pre-taped, or for that matter, did you really think that was Saddam, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I heard the analysis saying, I believe the government, our government, has said, yes, that was Saddam. They don't know whether it was taped or whether it was live. But I will say this, and you tell me, we had a strike on their leadership. Now, if Saddam wanted to say that he was alive, wouldn't he say something like, I'm still alive? He was rather vague, and the comments he made seemed rather generic. This is a crime against the Iraqi people. It's a crime against humanity. We will rise up and we will defeat the invader. But there wasn't anything specific about him being targeted or him being well or dead or anything else. It looked like, according to the people that know, he put everything together pretty fast. He had glasses on that he doesn't like to wear. So, you know what, man? I don't know. I think he's alive. We're going to be into this Osama bin Laden thing after a while. I think he's alive. I think he's on the run. Definitely on the run. I think he's got bigger problems than the United States military right now. Now he's got to worry about the Republican Guard leadership, which apparently is beginning to implode.
Yeah.
The cat's got some serious problems, and the U.S. military right now is rather enjoying this because things are happening that we hoped would happen. There's some strain going on in the Iraqi military leadership. There isn't a whole lot of military resistance. We're hoping that maybe the impossible, a miracle, can happen, that maybe this government will fall and we won't have to do too much fighting.
Yeah.
What do you think, man?
well, regarding the tape, I think if it was pre-taped, I think they probably, taped 10 or 12 different speeches, basically according to whatever would happen.
Yeah.
And as if it was live, I think that's kind of, I really don't see why he would do that so early into it.
Right, right.
As far as Osama goes, I think that was great. I think that's going to boost morale, not only for the country, but for the troops out there, the fact that they're getting close to nabbing that prick.
You mean the attack in Kandahar last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was just great news.
And plus, the Republican Guard is pissed off because making that tape, he taped over some Friends episodes, so they're really bugged. Hey, Brian, thank you very much for your call.
All right, take care, man.
You too. Bye-bye. What did you do? Look, I got to address the country. That was Friends, you idiot. There was freaking Phoebe. Phoebe takes it in a place that nobody thought she would. I don't care about Friends. I'm getting attacked right now. Bastard, we're going to have a revolt. 1-800-449-8- Yeah, the cats are giving up because they taped over Friends, and that's it. That's it. I'm out of here. You sons of bitches. You always, the one thing I got in this world that I like, Friends, and you guys tape over it. Well, you want us to have a tape of you to give to the country, but not on Friends. Why'd you tape over that freaking 70s show that you like so much, you piece of... Here is Scott. Scott, hello.
How you doing?
Good.
So, I called to make somewhat of a rebuttal, first off, against a previous caller you had about France, and talking about how, they're against this war, they're against us taking forceful action, and he really brought up some bad reasons that they might have for saying that we shouldn't be doing this. I think large reasons why France and Germany, among other countries, are against this, or at least were against this 100%, was because they both have outstanding loans with Iraq. And if we went in, and which we have, and are taking forceful action, along with the fact that President Bush is now talking about moving forward to seize all of the frozen assets that Saddam Hussein froze earlier, they're worried that they aren't going to get their money back. And, you know, Bush is talking about putting all the money back into Iraq once the war is over to help rebuild Iraq.
Yeah.
And I really think that a large reason that they were so upset about taking forceful action is they just wanted to let the inspectors do it, hoping, you know.
Language there, brother. You know, Russia has a $35 billion loan outstanding with those guys that's going to be uncollectible if this thing goes down
right.
The way it looks like it's going down. You're absolutely right. On top of that, France gets its oil from Iraq at 40% of market. That's
right.
A hell of a discount.
Yeah.
These are the things that these are the things that suddenly get lost in this sweeping tide and this sweeping sentiment of the great imperialist war criminal America.
Right.
Everybody else is as pure as the driven snow, and all they want is for everybody to hold hands and walk off into the sunset. Yeah, well, that ain't it.
And I really think that that's a big reason. That was one of the things that I think Saddam was really hanging on to for this fortification of this war. He was really clinging on to that, I think, in the back of his mind as a safeguard against the war ever happening, was that he has so many other countries that do have a voice in the UN not wanting to go forward with this war, which would allow him more time to run off and do what he wants to do. And I think, you know, really, in my mind, the big problem right now is North Korea. But if we just let Saddam Hussein do what he's going to do, it's something like 103 days, according to intelligence, North Korea is going to have enough weapon-grade plutonium to create 6 nuclear warheads, at which time, if Saddam doesn't already have it, I can almost guarantee Kim Jong-un of North Korea is going to be willing to sell it to the highest bidder, and I don't think Saddam Hussein would have too many problems laying down a high dollar amount for those weapons.
I think everything you're saying is valid. I think that most people would then dismiss it as American intelligence propaganda.
Right.
But I think what you're saying makes perfect sense. It makes perfect economic. It's logical. It makes perfect economic sense as well. And yet, there are people who cling to this idea that all countries are equal, and if we have nuclear weapons, then why can't North Korea? Well, maybe it's because they're run by a complete and utter madman with an Elvis Presley pompadour and high heel shoes.
The whole idea of saying that all countries is equal, I mean, I agree with it, but when you're saying all countries are equal, you're saying it in terms of the populace. The people are equal, but again, you're right. You know, it depends
the governments
on who's
are not,
running
yeah.
the country.
And some governments have to, hopefully moral governments have to step in and say, or at least, you know, more moral than next, say, you can't have it. We got it. Thank you very much for your call, sir.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. North Korea, they're on the list. Saudi Arabia, they're on the list. You know, the world is turning a little bit, my friends. The world is turning. We're not hiding behind metal detectors no more. Sure, we still have metal detectors. Of course, we're still going to have security. But we're not going to hide behind them any longer. This is a new world. It's a place that's a little complex. It's a place that values peace, but understands that some countries have to step up sometimes and wage war. It's a world where one country has nuclear weapons and another country isn't allowed to have nuclear weapons. That's right. It's a world where our September 10th anti-war, hide-behind-the-metal-detector friends are going to have to be dragged into kicking and screaming like a recalcitrant child who doesn't want to wear the Sunday party dress. Come on. You're coming along with us. You're my countrymen. I love you, but hoo boy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. FBI has issued an alert for a suspected terrorist. A Saudi national believed to be plotting terrorist attacks as part of Al-Qaeda is the subject of a worldwide manhunt issued by the FBI today as efforts intensified to uncover any potential terrorists planned by Iraqi operatives or sympathizers. Note, sympathizer. There's no memorandum going back and forth saying there's linkage, I'm sorry, but sympathizer. They don't have like an employment application. What job are you looking for? I want to be an Iraqi terrorist sympathizer. All righty. Very good. Okay, well, I'll file this with Saddam Hussein, and it'll be, copied in triplicates. Thank you very much. Okay. Adnan G.L. Krijuma is being sought by the FBI, who are asking for help from law enforcement officials as well as the public. You ought to see this guy. They had his picture on TV today. He looked like Lex Luthor. Seriously, like the bald head, this weird-ass face. You ain't never seen anything like this cat. He's about 5'2" and about 150 pounds, too. The cat's just, he's gone. Officials say El Shukri Juma may have been last seen in Miami before he disappeared, but his current whereabouts unknown. He is possibly involved with Al-Qaeda terrorist activities, and if true, poses a serious threat to U.S. citizens and interests worldwide. You might check the television to see if you get a picture of this guy. He's a real fruitcake. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Bringing a little intelligence, history, perspective, and truth to the commentary about this war. Somebody's got to do it. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show reporting at this hour, anti-war activists across the country protesting by the hundreds, America not killing enough people in the early stages of this war to justify them feeling self-righteous and sanctimonious about our military action. This just in, George Clooney, even though he is against the war, would like to make a movie about it, if it's okay, after it's all done, with him playing Bush. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Todd. Hello, Todd.
Oh, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to say I'm enjoying your show. I just wanted to make a comment. I know the U.S. military is over there fighting against the threat against the United States and the world. And, you know, I'm just a little concerned that are we really guarding against the possible terrorist repercussions that we could feel in this country?
Right now, or do you mean in an overall political sense?
Well, right now, and, you know...
Right now, you shouldn't have any worries. Right now, we are out in force. The police are out in force. New York City especially. But Craig was over at Disneyland. We're in California. He was over at Disneyland this morning. The place is rocking. There were cop cars at the entrance, cop cars at the exits. There are security throughout. There are plainclothes police riding the subways in every major city. We've got police out at our national monuments. We have police officers near our malls. We are taking every threat seriously, the most recent being a Homeland Security note about the Palo Verde nuclear power plant in Arizona. It's the largest nuclear power plant in the world, and there was some rather unspecific threat, but security measures have been taken there. I think we're in good hands, man. I think we're in good shape right now.
Okay, I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it, brother. See you later. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Now, as far as the overall political sense goes, have we pissed off some people? Yeah. Too bad. Yeah, we're America. We're always going to be pissing somebody off. Somebody ain't going to like the way we look. They ain't going to like the color on the flag. Something's going to be wrong. You know, we aided and abetted some dictator somewhere. Someone's got a problem with us from 1932 when we looked the wrong way at them. We're always going to have people targeting us. Now, what we need to do in the future is begin to minimize those threats. But as I tried to explain earlier in the program, you can't go forward in this world without asking help sometimes from some people that are fairly odious. And I use as the example this guy Musharraf in Pakistan. I don't like that guy one bit. I've never liked that guy. And when he was holding our hand and helping us with Al-Qaeda, I still didn't like him. But he did help us with Al-Qaeda. He's allowed CIA and FBI to operate in his country. He's allowed them to work alongside Pakistani police. He's given us help in ferreting out Al-Qaeda hideouts. You don't want to do business with a guy like that? He's a scumbag. What are you going to do? Okay, here is David. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Hey, Phil, there was a comment you made earlier how you respect the fact that France is going for peace. They really don't care about anybody but themselves. It has nothing to do with peace or war. You have to remember back when France, when we went and everybody agreed on a nuclear test moratorium a few years ago, France still blew off a few nuclear weapons in the South Pacific.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
They didn't really care about anybody.
No, they didn't. They were testing their little nuclear weapons down there off that atoll. Yeah, no, I simply said I got to admire them to a point of trying to put off the war, but I'm not under any illusion of why they're trying to put the war off. They have economic self-interest every bit as much at heart as we do. And
yeah, well,
I can't believe the people they conned, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, what another thing is Blitz. That you would think this guy would pull out the engineers before he even goes into the country, selects the engineers he wants to talk to, pulls them and their families out of the country so they're safe. You don't have to worry about a thing. And then ask them questions about where everything is instead of doing it ass backwards like he did. You know, just basically, you know, going on.
Are you
on
talking
a,
about the Iraqi scientists?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Is his name Blix or Blitzed?
You know what? He's,
you know,
he's Blitz, I think.
He's,
you know?
The guy's spiffed. All right. Thanks a lot, David.
You're welcome.
See you later. I got to take a break, man. I appreciate your call, though. 1-800-449-8686. My little Canadian friend Janice Ngaro is here, our producer, with more news. Is it breaking? Well, let me see. Three British commando brigades have launched an attack on the Faw Peninsula from which some of the Scuds against Kuwait were launched. Combined U.S. Marines and British armored units have captured the key port town of Qasr near Basra, chalking up our first real gain. So the battle for Basra is on. We'll be back with more right after this. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Right now, we are getting news. This might be old, but I haven't heard it yet. That Well, wait a second. Where's the news from the surrendering divisions? I want that. We have news that two Iraqi divisions are in negotiation to surrender. Where's the other story that we had on that? You know, okay. Sorry, I'm just, yeah, that's it. It was on the other side. It was updated. All right, I'll take that. I'm talking to Janice and to myself, too, as a matter of fact. The surrender of two Iraqi divisions in the Basra area of southeastern Iraq is in negotiation with U.S. military officers and expected in coming hours. Now, just so you know, two divisions is about 15,000 men per, about 30,000 men. That's a lot. They are the forces charged with defending the oil fields of the region, and they represent two-thirds of the Iraqi army in the south. So again, the surrender of two Iraqi divisions, 30,000 men, you have to understand how enormous this is, in the Basra area, is expected in coming hours. Apparently, the Iraqi commanders are in negotiation with the U.S. military officers there. They are the forces charged with defending the oil fields of the region. They represent two-thirds of the Iraqi army in the south. With that surrender, we could have a real, perhaps a real entry with few casualties, if any, into Basra. We would secure an oil port. We would do it without civilian casualties. And again, this would be unprecedented in the history of warfare. 1-800-449-8686. It's all very good if you are somebody who would like to see very few civilian casualties and few casualties indeed of our soldiers. Here is Beth. Hello, Beth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. The first one being, I think all of these protesters in San Francisco and elsewhere, for that matter, that are being disruptive and getting arrested ought to be fined enough to help pay for the police that are being put out there to and taken away from our regular protection on our national monuments and our cities.
They probably will be. They'll probably get a stiff fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Make them pay the wages of one police officer for the trip.
That'd be cool. You know, it'd be another good thing would have them do a couple of weeks in a hospital. Maybe do a couple of weeks in a military hospital.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
And
that is if they can break away from their jobs as stock analysts and, you know, jive ass long enough to do it. Yeah.
My second comment would be, as in regards to the war, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
Right.
And I personally would rather be damned because I did than because I didn't.
There's an old saying, ask for forgiveness, not permission. We operate on that premise on this show, Beth. It's gotten me fired a few times, but it's gotten us some success. And it's easy to sit on the fence and say, don't go, don't go, don't go. War is scary, war is big, war, it's loud and it bangs and there's a lot of bullets and people die. It's easy to say that's the wrong thing, the bad thing. Jesus said it was bad. But sometimes you have to take the step. What's happening right now, if it continues, we should be very proud of this. We should be proud of our military. We should be proud of the men and women who planned this, because what's happening now is we are using a psychological operation that so far, if this news is to be believed, is going to result in the surrender of two Iraqi divisions, a crumbling from within of the Republican Guard leadership. We may take a port. We have knocked out their command center, their presidential command center in Baghdad. We're putting the pressure on psychologically. And so far as I have heard reported, there has been one death, an Iraqi civilian. I believe it was a Jordanian cab driver in Baghdad. Boy, there's some really long cab rides in that part of the world. And I'm not trying to be glib in the face of a man dying, but what's a Jordanian cab driver doing in Baghdad? I think they do literally ferry people in from Jordan. There have been a few civilian casualties. I think we've had one American injured, not seriously. This is an unprecedented situation, and it is one that we should be proud of. And it's one that I've jokingly said probably disappoints all of these September 10th anti-war people, because without a whole lot of dead people in body bags, the moral high ground is just cut right out from underneath them. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those people are pissed off today that there's no massive body bags, massive casualties, that war is being conducted on a scale. You have to admit, as civilians, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. We do our job. We pay our taxes. We trust in the men that we hire to do these things, like plan and prepare and equip a military. What you're looking at today is a modern military, a modern army at work. It's the American Army. It is the best equipped in the world, and we are looking at the use of all of the weapons that we paid for as taxpayers, the stealth, the night vision, everything, all the way on down to the lifesaver bags. This stuff is being put into practice. It's being put into operation, and so far is working brilliantly, and the planning more than anything else, the military planning that went into this that could affect the surrender of two divisions without firing a shot. The psychological operations put into this that could very well capitulate the leadership of this country without firing a shot. You got to be happy with that. And you have to tip your hat to the military planners that put this together. Now, if it turns and there's a whole lot of blood to flow, I understand. That's also sometimes the way it goes. I'm expecting either thing, but I'm very surprised and pleasantly at the application of these so-called psychops by our military in the early stages, that at least in the case of this one news item that I'm reading, may result in the surrender of 30,000 Iraqi soldiers near Basra. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Matthew. Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
I just want to add a comment. Everyone is like all against these anti-war protests. And I'm not for the war, I'm not against the war, but people need to realize I come from another country, like a lot of other people do in this country. One of the great things about this country is the freedom of speech. And the war protests, be it for the war or even against the war, that is a form of the freedom of speech of this country, and that's what makes this country what it is.
Well, yeah, I know that, man. I don't think they're anti.
You got people on there that are saying, you know, they should be fined and all these other things.
Well, they're going to be fined if they're blocking traffic. You know, you can protest the war, but if you are breaking the law by civil disobedience, then you have to be processed by the police. And then, you know, see, that's the other thing, and this is what I said to one of my callers 3 days ago. Dude, go out and protest the war. Whatever you need to do is cool. But if you engage in civil disobedience, that means the cops have got to arrest you, process
Absolutely.
You, book you. It takes the police off the street processing some fat-ass suburban anti-war demonstrator, while maybe we need that police officer to be out taking care of something a little bit more vital. The people that are blocking traffic, I mean, hey, cool. You know, do whatever you got to do, man. But if you break the law, somebody's got to fine your ass, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree. I mean, they shouldn't become unsettled.
Let me ask you a question. If you're a father, and this happened in Miami, so I am not just pulling this out of the sky. This happened when there were Cuban protesters blocking traffic. If you're a father and sitting next to you is a child of yours that needs to get to an emergency room in a hospital, and you turn a corner and hear all these jackasses in the middle of the intersection, I think it'll piss you off a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
It happened in Miami. Some poor man couldn't get his kid to the hospital. The kid had asthma and was having a hard time breathing. Now, look, I'm not saying people shouldn't protest the war. It's the American way. I am saying if you engage in civil disobedience, you may think it's groovy.
There's repercussions for that, yeah.
There may be some repercussions. And, you know, that's all I'm saying, man. I mean, it's a great country. You're right. I'm not against anybody. I don't think they're anti-American. I just think they're dumb.
Yeah, people are uneducated on the opinion of where people are. And you're making the point yesterday. The main reason why everyone's in this war, it's all about pure economics.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the business. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm Australian.
Yeah, well, the Australian Army is with us down there.
Yeah, exactly. And we're in it for the same reason as well. It's all about economics.
Well,
the French are playing their thing because of economics. The Germans are doing that thing. But let's go even deeper.
What does economics mean? It means the health of a country, doesn't it?
Exactly.
At least on some level. So if we took the word economics out and said, well, we're doing it for the health of our own country, and you could even take that word out and put in its place, we're doing it for our own self-interest out of the health and the self-preservation. Nothing wrong with that.
You were making the point yesterday, 15 years ago, Iraq was an ally. We were aiding them financially to develop. They no longer serve the purpose that they served 10 to 15 years ago, and this is where we are today. As a result.
And they've gotten in the way a little bit. Like Australia, you know, how many people were killed in that Bali explosion that were Australia? 800?
I had a good friend of mine I went to college with was injured in that injury. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to make a statement.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Matthew, thank you.
So I appreciate it.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. There's Matthew. He's from Down Under. We got a lot of Australian troops with us, the British, Americans. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know, but I think the Phil Hendry Show broke some news. We said it like 10 minutes ago, and now it's just being reported on Fox. I think we broke a story. How about that? We reported, I don't know who else reported it, we reported that the surrender of two Iraqi divisions in the Basra area of southeastern Iraq is in negotiation with U.S. military officers and is expected in coming hours. And now they're reporting it on CNN and Fox, like 10 minutes after we did. Ha, 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 ha. And on top of that, I ain't going to tell you where we get our information. It's secret. We are not going to tell you where we get our information. Two oil fields south and west of Basra have been torched by Iraqi troops. U.S. Marines have been ordered to advance from Kuwait into southern Iraq at speed to extinguish the blaze. The Marines come with engineers. And in order for them to extinguish this blaze, they have to detonate, basically explode the land around it, try to cover it, and then cap it. It depends on the size of the blaze as to whether these guys can handle it or not. Battles are raging as Marines lay down artillery barrage to clear their path while coming under heavy fire themselves. Israeli raises missile alert after five Iraqi missiles were fired into Kuwait Thursday. Israeli air defenses and Air Force are on their highest alert. According to military sources, Iraq may shoot missiles against Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia after the big United States-UK air offensive begins. But the most recent information that we have is that two Iraqi divisions, that would be 30,000 men, are in negotiation with U.S. military officers and expected to surrender in coming hours. These are forces charged with defending the oil fields and regions and represent two-thirds of the Iraqi army in the south. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Basically, I wanted to ask you a question, a real, real serious question about the war. Now, I understand that we have a problem with Saddam burning up his own oil. why is it a war crime for him to burn his oil? Isn't it? Doesn't it belong to him and it's on his territory? I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, the idea of war crimes came about after World War II, and there's actually a definition for it. Nuremberg, the Geneva Convention, laid down a definition for war crime. There's actually four things you can be brought before in a world tribunal for: war crime, a crime against humanity, a crime against peace, and there's one other. Burning his oil, I'm not sure falls under any of those things, although it is robbing a resource from the Iraqi people, number one. Let's forget about whether it's wrong or right. Let's just say whether it's ignorant or intelligent. It's about as dumb a thing as you could do in terms of environment. He's burning up oil. He's polluting the air. He's God knows what he's doing to the ecology. As a military tactic, it may not be a bad idea because the military cannot operate blind, and it's difficult to navigate in black, thick smoke.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, but even though I understand it is ignorant, because why would someone want to burn their own oil? But why do we have a problem with it? It belongs to him. It belongs to his
It doesn't
his
belong
land.
To him. It belongs to his people.
Exactly.
Well, and Saddam Hussein is no longer the legitimate leader of the Iraqi people. We're going to kill him. So him burning up the resources of the Iraqi people, who are going to need that oil after this war, they're going to need the revenue from that oil after this war to rebuild their country. It's a crime against his own people.
I understand.
You know?
Yeah, I understand. But this whole thing is just like really, really whack. And, you know, I'm just praying that this whole thing gets over with.
War sucks. It kind of upsets the day, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
I mean, it's terrible that, you know, you're driving in your car and the things that you think about is the movie of Sons of All Fear. When are they going to attack us, or how they're going to retaliate? You know, it's really scary. It's a really, really scary thing that's going on now.
I think every now and again it's healthy to inject a little uncertainty into life. It helps us value what we have. It helps us look around past ourselves and see who our neighbors are and the things that we love. I think it's very healthy. I think it's, quite frankly, it's good for each generation to go through something like this, to go through the fear that the very ground underneath us could fall out. We're a good people, we're a strong people, and I think we're on the side of something that's very healthy and life-constructing and right, and that is to neutralize a terror-sponsoring state, get rid of a war criminal like Saddam Hussein, help the Iraqi people in the process build a democracy, help our own people be secure by getting rid of a terrorist, and, yeah, a little self-interest, securing an oil supply. All of those things, in my opinion, are business as usual and are morally right for our country. Thank you, Lisa, very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. It is a whack thing, war. And it does upset the normal routine of the day. I don't dig it, man. I get up in the morning and go, I got a TV show pilot that I got to shoot. I got Madden 2003. And then I got a war to worry about. I got to get up. I got my radio show. And frankly, when it comes to this stuff, I said, my radio show is the least of my worries because this is so easy to do. I could do this in my sleep. I could do this sleepwalking. I got to worry about, okay, now we're going to be on the air 6 hours tonight. And we're going to do fantastic commentary and observation and news reporting on this war. Are people going to take me seriously because I usually do shtick? Are the program directors out there going to take me seriously because I usually do shtick? Because I'm beating the hell out of anything else they could put on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eugene. Hello, Eugene.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Not bad.
I just have one question, which I think is a very important question, and I don't know if anybody's asked you so far. How about the UN? You see, the resolution 1441, which would say Saddam Hussein is in breach, means that pretty much if he doesn't respect UN, we should bomb him. Correct?
Yeah, he can.
Now,
we can disarm him.
Right, right. I'm just simplifying.
Right.
But basically, ourselves, we are circumventing the UN, are we not?
The United Nations has not lived up to its own resolution.
But hold on a second. Does that mean that UN is only...
The United Nations has made itself a peripheral ineffective observer.
Are they an ineffective observer because they are not agreeing with what we are doing?
Well, let me ask you a question. Yes. After 12 years, did they disarm Saddam Hussein? After how
Absolutely
many resolutions
not.
Did they disarm Saddam Hussein?
Absolutely
Were they
not.
Saddam Hussein has scuds? He said he didn't. Saddam Hussein said, by the way, he would never blow his own oil wells. He has. Saddam Hussein claimed that he didn't have chemical weapons and then late said, oh, well, I do have some chemical weapons. The United Nations has been made to look like an utter collection of clowns by this guy.
Well, that may be true, but on the other hand, these 12 years we had not attacked him, and all of a sudden the timing is right.
Well, would you prefer that we right away within 30 days attacked him if he hadn't disarmed? I mean, we give the guy all the room in the world and people are criticizing us. We don't give the guy any room people criticize us. We gave the guy 12 bloody years. How much time does he need?
I agree with. My main problem is that we are going into a sovereign country and removing their ruler.
Removing
now,
their dictator.
Now, if had agreed to what we're doing, that would have given it an air of legitimacy.
Absolutely. Hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, we're live until 1 a.m. Eastern Time. We are going to be on the air 6 hours tonight. We were on the air 6 hours last night. I anticipate, unless something changes drastically, the same thing tomorrow night. We're all over this thing. Here is a headline for you. Combined U.S.-British forces have captured Fa Peninsula on the Persian Gulf, and in capturing that peninsula, they have captured the H-3 airbase complex in western Iraq from which some Scuds were fired against Tel Aviv in 1991. So I would think that that's pretty good news for the people of Israel. And I think that's a major, major accomplishment. U.S. and British forces have captured the Fa Peninsula on the Persian Gulf. And they've captured on that peninsula the H-3 airbase, which fired Scuds, or from which Scuds were fired at Tel Aviv in 1991. If you remember the Gulf War, Tel Aviv taking a Scud attack, those Scuds came from an airbase that U.S. and British military have captured on the Fa Peninsula. And as soon as I get a map, I can tell you what that looks like. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Steve. Hello, Steve.
Yo.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Am I on?
Yeah.
All right. Phil, man. Awesome. Great to talk to you. Huge fan. But you know what? I'm in shock and awe of your take on this. I'm in awe of your talent, but shocked that you sound like Rush Limbaugh, man. I think history is going to prove you
Rush
wrong.
Rush Limbaugh sounds like me.
Yeah. Well, no. Anyway, this is a war of fear.
You sound like Alan Combs. You look like him? Go ahead.
I look like him too.
I'm sorry. It's a war of fear. What is it?
I never thought this war was proved. I thought it was below the line. He never got to the point where it was like the case of war. I thought mostly he had the troops over there and he had to rush to it before it got summer. I think this is crazy that you can try to fight a war for democracy and you can circumvent democracy in the UN. Like, what's that? I mean, what are we saying? We're proving dictatorship. This is crazy. And I think a lot of people are into this for the ultimate reality TV. I think that's what it's about.
As opposed to the anti-war people who can't wait to see the body bags get filled so they can be proved right, dude.
I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you're saying a lot of stuff, but you're not. First of all, why are we there? I mean, I've been answering that question for 3 days. I can go through it again. I don't mind. The fact of the matter is we declared war on terrorism September 20th, 2001, after 3,000 of our people were killed. Is there any linkage with Al-Qaeda? I think that's a childish question, personally. I think that's like asking, does the KKK and does the White Aryan Resistance, do they have any memorandum going back between them?
Oh,
well, they're both organizations that believe in the same hateful thing.
I wasn't asking.
It is proved that Saddam Hussein
looks like juvenile.
Excuse me. Can I say something now? Because I listened to your pitch. Saddam Hussein is a proved supporter of terrorists. His country, his regime is a proved terrorist sanctioning and supporting nation. He's the big fat target on the horizon. We said we were going to fight a war against terrorism. We started with a country that was in violation of United Nations resolutions on disarming. Some people say that a whole bunch of other countries are in violation of resolutions on disarming. But apparently they don't get the point that the reason why we're focusing on Iraq is because they are a terror-sponsoring nation with a leader who is a terror-sponsoring leader. We're taking him out. We will continue to take out these countries that encourage a uncivilized attack by ununiformed combatants on ununiformed civilians, a terror campaign. If you want to fight a war, fight it like a man. Don't throw bombs into malls. This stuff we have been absorbing for 60 years, and we're no longer going to absorb it without striking back at the base of these operations, as opposed to just hiding behind metal detectors, which is what we have been doing for 40, 50, 60 years. The time has come for us to be proactive, to take the fight to the terrorist. That is exactly what's happening. If people don't understand that, I can dig it. I'll try to explain it some more. I believe it. Nobody will ever argue me off of this. No one is ever going to argue me off of the point that America is, you know, I love people trying to justify Saddam Hussein by saying, well, America is the number one terror-sponsoring country in the world. It may be. It may be that we have, through sheer numbers of dollars, done more to support illegitimate dictatorial regimes than Saddam Hussein has. Unfortunately, we carry the high moral ground here. Oh, why is that, Phil? Because as a nation, we are a democratic, free, and moral people. With a democratically elected leader, we have the moral high ground. We're a more responsible nation at this point than Iraq can be with that nut in charge of them. So we call the shot. Now, that's where you really get people pissed off. Well, that's not fair! Too bad. We're calling the shot. We got the guns. We have the moral legitimacy. We're calling the shot. Now, if we're wrong, this is just the country to look at itself and admit that it's wrong. Because it ain't going to happen in Iraq. You ain't going to get Saddam sitting there saying, you know what? I've been a real bastard. Really, seriously, would you guys just roll the truth? Let's talk about this for a minute. You're not going to get that kind of self-scrutiny in a country like that. In America, you get it. And I'm going to say it again. The anti-war September 10th hide behind the metal detector people are really upset tonight because the body bags aren't getting filled. The civilians aren't getting killed. There's no blood that they can wash themselves in and parade self-righteously down Market Street or out on the west side of L.A. It's really pissing them off. Because the United States military, the terrible war machine of America, and the bloodthirsty President Bush are conducting a campaign now of psychological operations trying to capitulate the leadership of Saddam Hussein with as few casualties as possible. And this has taken them by surprise. They're shocked. They're stunned. They don't know what. The sooner we start killing some civilians, the happier the anti-war people are going to be. Sorry. Let's go over to Matt. Matt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. It's great to hear you. You're a great guy.
Thanks.
My question is this. These chemical warfare things that we've been trying to search out for 12 years, and, I mean, we've heard so much about them, and in no way do I want to see, you know, all these people die from, a missile going down with some of these biological weapons and whatnot, but do you think that something like that's going to happen? And
I don't know. See, one of the things we're doing is we're talking to the officers and soldiers in charge of those weapons and saying, don't fire them.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Hussein may give the order, and they may not do it.
Do you think
it's going to happen? It hasn't happened yet, so it's kind of... maybe when the fighting begins around Baghdad, and if it gets intense in Baghdad, it could possibly happen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, it would just really suck to, you know, go through all this and all these things have been said and all these things have been done and now we're going to war with this country. I mean, I feel the same way about you. I mean, listening to you is great. But if these things don't, you know, I mean, it's like I would almost feel like, you know, I was missing out on something if
unfortunately, some of these chemical or biological weapons, these things that we've been going after for so long, aren't used in some way. I mean, does that sound stupid? But
what do you mean? I mean,
well, I don't know.
If they're not used, then they're not used.
Yeah.
The fact is, they do have them. Hussein himself admitted that they had them. He said, well, we have them for defensive purposes. So he lied. He lied through his teeth like he usually has. They asked him. He said they have no weapons of mass destruction. The guy's a lying sack of crap. He always has been. And he lied on this one. He said he wouldn't light oil well fires. Well, he's doing that, too. He's a liar. He is what he is, man. And what do you do with a mad dog? You put a bullet in it. So that's what we're doing. We're hoping they don't fire these chemical weapons. We've talked to the officers and the men in charge of these weapons through a variety of propaganda channels, through a variety of communications, and we have said, don't do it. Whatever you do, do not follow the orders to fire chemical weapons, because it's going to be a bad, bad, bad thing for your country. So far, some Iraqi soldiers seem to be listening. We mentioned that there's two divisions that are planning, at least that's what we've heard, two divisions of Iraqi soldiers planning a surrender in Basra. We've had other reports of defections. We've had reports of the Iraqi Republican Guard command structure imploding. We've had reports of the other defections. So if this continues, now our guys are coming up against two Iraqi divisions that are turning in their weapons. We could have ourselves the capitulation of one of the great mass murderers in history, and no casualties. 1-800, I don't know how that makes you feel. It makes me feel great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, we told you that the American and British troops have taken an air base in western Iraq. It is supposed to be the place where Scuds were fired at Israel back in the 91 war. It's called the H-3 Air Complex. It is also a place where Saddam Hussein was said or believed to have transported the majority of his usable jet aircraft, fighter aircraft, to get it away from areas that it might be vulnerable, and to have it within range of Israel. That air base tonight, it's being reported, has fallen into the hands of the United States and British forces in the Fah Peninsula, the Persian Gulf. Now, that's not on the Fah Peninsula, excuse me. It's an H-3 air base complex in western Iraq. Fah Peninsula may be another spot. I don't know. But in any event, that has happened. Negotiations underway with the I'm looking here, the 11th Infantry and 51st Mechanized Infantry of the Iraqi Army. So one of those would be a mechanized, an armored division, or an armored infantry, I should say, and the 11th Infantry. Those two divisions of the Iraqi Army are negotiating with American officers on surrendering. These are basically conscripts made, forced to defend the oil fields down there in the Basra region, and apparently, he is going to be that is being negotiated as we speak. Is Hussein going to address the nation again? Get some information on that, because I thought I read something like that. Meanwhile, here in the United States, our police are doing the job. Our firefighters are doing the job. Security is on high alert here in the United States. There have been no reported problems vis-a-vis terror attacks. We've got cops out in every major city. We've got security out in every major city. Places thought to be vulnerable earlier in the day have been reinforced. Americans nervous about that, and I understand, but right now it looks like we've got it under control and that we are in very good shape. And again, my thanks to the police of this country, the firefighters of this country, the people who work all levels of security to help us, because there's a lot of nervous people when this happens, and with total, I can totally understand that. And certainly frightened that people have been talking about provoking a terror attack, provoking people, making Saddam Hussein attack us with a terror attack because, you know, we provoked him, etc., etc. That's the risk you run when you're trying to neutralize from the root a sponsor of terror. I would imagine in the dying throes and the death throes of this man's regime and this man's murderous life, there might be one last gasp. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Here is Frank. Frank, you're on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Love you, man. Making a lot of sense tonight. Hey, I think the we were talking about the preemptive strikes earlier tonight.
Uh-huh.
People were crying about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I think it saved a lot of lives. I got a 20-year-old son who's a PFC in the Marine Corps, and he's been in the desert in northern Kuwait since the middle of February. And while that airstrike was going on last night, if we hadn't been preemptive with that and taken out some of the artillery that the Iraqis were moving in, they could have dropped chemical shells or scuds on top of those troops.
Right.
And there ain't no doubt in my mind that we saved a lot of those boys, and they are boys. You know, there's a lot of kids in that group.
Oh yeah.
And hell, there ain't no reason to put them in body bags. You know.
No, there isn't. If there's a way to conduct any kind of military operation without filling a body bag, let's do it. And it looks like the U.S. Military Command is doing the best they can to not only protect the soldiers on the ground, but also the civilians in Iraq who didn't deserve this war.
They're doing a great job, man.
I think so. Now, you know, again, right now, coalition forces are in action all over Iraq. I don't know if this is the old shock and awe that they were talking about, but there are troops everywhere in Iraq now. We've got them up in the north. We've got them in the south. We got them in the west. They are trying to negotiate the surrender of two Iraqi divisions right now. That's 30,000 men. They've taken over an airfield that was launching Scuds at Israel back in 91. We've got some sad news. BBC is reporting that 12 Americans and 4 Brits were killed in a chopper crash on the Kuwait side of the Kuwait-Iraq border. That was a mechanical failure, according to the BBC. But that's going
to
happen.
Hear that.
Mechanical failure has killed 12 Americans, was it? 12 Americans and 4 British soldiers.
That just came in?
Yeah, that's just in now. You know, how do I put this delicately and try to be respectful? If anybody is going to die in a war, soldiers at least expect it.
Yeah.
And as I've heard them say so many times, it's part of the job. So I don't want to say...
People in the towers in the Pentagon weren't expecting it, though. That's what we got to keep in our minds.
Well, I think that the Pentagon knows they're going to take casualties, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is I'd rather see a soldier performing his duty die than a civilian, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make here. Thanks, Roy. Best of luck to your son, and I know he'll do well. 1-800-449-8686. Pentagon has reported, the BBC rather has reported, that a chopper has gone down in Kuwait on the Kuwait side of the Kuwait-Iraqi border. 12 Americans and 4 British soldiers are dead in that crash. It is said to be a mechanical problem with the chopper. Apparently, it did not take any fire, but instead was hampered somehow mechanically. Here's Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Dave?
Yeah. You know, I got an issue with calling Saddam a terrorist just because that's what the liberals use or whatever that are protesting against the war. He's a criminal. If I've got somebody coming down my street and raping my neighbor, robbing the other neighbor, and I don't do anything about it.
What do you mean the liberals are calling him a terrorist?
Well, the people who are out there saying, well, we should just let him be, and, you know, that's...
They're calling him a terrorist.
Well, and I think that's a safe word for them, because terrorism then...
I've never heard them call him a terrorist, and I'm a liberal.
What?
Yeah. Okay, bye. See ya. God, that's the first time I've had to hang up on a guy in the last 2 days within the first 20 seconds of his call because it just sucked so terribly. It was just incredible, that guy's call. Starts out with the liberal conservative thing, that's strike one, then gets his facts wrong, strike two, and strike three, you're out. Hey, listen, when all the smoke clears, you may want to check into our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. If you're a new listener to the show, you might want to log on and see what this show is really all about when we're not talking about war. But we are going to continue to cover this, the United States military action in Iraq to rid the world of Saddam Hussein. We will continue to talk about this, give it a commentary that, frankly, nobody else can give it. We're not going to be coming from any liberal conservative side, that's for sure. We're just coming from this side. Let's win. Let's kill this guy and let's leave. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.